God bless you today. I'm going to begin a new series today entitled Treasure. And this month, we're going to focus on our treasure a little bit. And we're going to talk about God's plan and process for provision and blessing in our life. Don't you want you and your family to be blessed by God? Yeah. And this is one of the reasons why I am kind of bringing out this series and this teaching series right now at this time of the year. Because there are really three reasons, and I want to share those with you at this time. The first reason we're talking about treasure this month is because church families frequently have a hard time spending the entire fall season kind of rebounding and recovering from the lull in giving in the church that occurs during the summer months. But I want to let you guys know something. We have two many wonderful ministry efforts taking place and way too much vision going on. And I just believe that we're going to come together this month in September with a giving emphasis to bolster the general fund of the church so that ministry can continue to flourish rather than limp through the fall. Will y'all agree with me on that one right there, guys? Amen. It's a natural thing to do at this time of the year. But this is what families do. We are the family of God. Amen. And so this is what families do. We unite. We come together to give, to meet needs. And so we're excited about all that God is going to do to bless the church. Amen, everybody. Thank God. Thank God. The second reason I want to teach this right now in this season is because I want to see you and your family blessed, prospering, and flourishing. Flourishing with more than enough that you need to thrive and not to struggle through worrying and wondering how your dreams are going to be fulfilled. And that condition for you and your family does not occur in your life unless you have the Word of God in knowledge and in action in your life so that God's provisional principles can take over and cause His blessings to flow to you. And so I'm excited to see how God pours out His power, how He pours out His blessings and pours out His provision to you and your family. How many can receive that this morning? Amen. And the third reason I'm teaching it right now is probably my favorite reason of all. If someone is wondering whether or not it's a good time to minister and teach on stewardship and giving during this season, because all you've heard all summer long is how the economy is struggling and how the gas prices are too high and how the government is doing this and that. We get that. But church, I say now, in the midst of all that, is the perfect time to focus on what God can do. Right? Focus on what He can do. Because when the world is going one way, we need to remind the enemy that God's people don't function and operate by the report of the world. We function and operate based on what thus saith the Lord God in His word. Come on. And His word says that when you and I bring the full tithe into the storehouse, there will be food in my house, says the Lord. And try me now on this, says God, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon your life, such a blessing that there will not be room to store that blessing. Come on, do you believe it with me today? That's what the word says, and I believe that should be the report that we operate on as the children of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. God bless you today. So very, very excited to see what's going to take place, and we're going to get that started today. Now, the reason I asked the giving moment to be at the conclusion of the service in just a few moments is because we're going to take special prayer time today at the end of our service to pray for God's blessing over you and over your life and over the gifts to enrich the church life. Amen, everybody? Enrich you and the church life. So let's begin in Scripture this morning. We're going to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter number 6. So look with me on your screen or in your Scripture if you brought your Bible. This is Jesus beginning to teach on the issue of blessing and treasure. And here's what He said. The Lord said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." He goes on to say in verse 20, "But instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." And then He goes on finally in verse 21 and gives us the crux of His message. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Thank God. Let's read that one more time. And this time, everybody, please lift your voice with me and read it aloud. Ready? Come on. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thank God. So this month, during the treasure series, we're going to be answering this question. How do we lay up heavenly treasures? How do we lay up heavenly treasures? Well, the first thing I want to point out this morning that we really need to notice about Jesus' teaching here is that giving is a matter of the heart. Do we understand that? He said that your heart will be toward things of the earth, or your heart will be toward the things of heaven. And when we prioritize treasure that is earth-based, he said our investment becomes vulnerable to natural losses. Jesus said that these were losses like the destruction of moths and rust and thieves breaking in. But church, when we prioritize treasure that is heavenly based, our investment is not vulnerable to the losses of natural destruction, because we aren't turning over our investment to the natural world where we think we are still in control. No, we're turning over our investment to the supernatural world where God is in control. And when we take the natural thing that's in our hands and step into faith and put it in the hands of the one who spoke and made everything, here's what he'll do. He'll take what's natural and do some supernatural stuff with it. Let me say that one more time. When you give him what's in your hand, the natural thing, he'll take the natural thing and do supernatural things with what you give him. Amen. And this is exactly how we do what we're out to do. This is really our goal in this series. And you can look at this on your screen. We're going to master the spiritual disciplines of biblical stewardship and giving. Right? We're going to master the biblical stewardship and giving. It's a spiritual discipline that Jesus taught us. And he teaches us because he wants us to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed in your life, in your family, and in your church, so that you can be a blessing to others and that you can have more than you need to thrive, not just survive. Can y'all receive that today? And if we're going to do this, church, hear me please. There needs to be a renewing of our minds. Our minds need to be renewed. It's a renewing that needs to take place because, watch me closely, we are all conditioned this morning to think about the quality of our lives being relative to the stuff we have. Let me make sure we get that. And there's no way around it. It's particularly here in the Western world. We're kind of born with this instinctive teaching and conditioning in our life. We're conditioned to compare the quality of our life solely with the stuff that we've got. Now, let me clarify, because I'm not trying to say that I don't believe God wants you to have stuff. No, in fact, God, he doesn't care if you've got plenty. Watch this closely. In fact, we looked at it a minute ago. He wants you to be so blessed that you cannot contain the blessings. That's the truth about God. He wants you to have a life that is so reliant upon him, so trusting of him, that you've got the faith to consistently and faithfully give to heavenly things so he can turn around, open up heaven, and pour out blessings upon your life. God wants you blessed. Amen. But what he is concerned about is whether or not your life is defined by your stuff, or it's defined by your relationship to him. Can you get it this morning? He's concerned about his relationship to you. Here's what Jesus said about this in the book of Luke, chapter number 12 and verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now, this principle goes counter to everything that we're brought up and conditioned to believe, because we measure success by how much stuff we've got. We measure success and whether or not life is a success or a failure based on our success by worldly standards. But according to Jesus, God has a different kind of standard. Your life is not defined by the stuff you've got. Jesus is saying here that real life is not about how much you have. Real life is about where you place your trust. And it needs to be trusting in him, not in stuff. Amen, everybody. Here's what the word says in 1 Timothy 6 and 17. the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're going to bolster this thought with these three scriptures. Read along with me. I'm reading. You can read along on your screen. He said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Come on, everybody say all things. Aren't you glad that God doesn't withhold good things from you? He's a great giver. In fact, you can't outgive God. He gives it all. He loves you so much that the Bible says he richly gives you all things to enjoy. My favorite part about the giving nature of God is John 3:16. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we might be born again. Praise God. He is a giving God. But look what Timothy 6 again. He said, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Let me say that one more time. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. And 19 says this, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Will you please look with me and notice what God considers to be successful? Notice what God considers to be rich. He said, these are the things that make you rich. Good works, readiness to give, and willing to share. Let's say that one more time. Come on, say good works, ready to give, and willing to share. Church, when your heart reaches this level of spiritual maturity where we understand that spiritual riches far outweigh monetary riches. If you get to that point in your life, some incredible blessings start to be added to your life. And so this morning, I want to share just three of those blessings with you. Are you ready to be blessed today? Come on. Amen. Three blessings of great giving, and here we go. Blessings of great giving. Number one, the blessing of guaranteed return. I said the blessing of guaranteed return. What does that mean? It just means that as you give, God will give back to you. Aren't you thankful? The book of Luke 6, and Jesus said it like this. This is the scripture that goes with that thing that you've heard all your life. Well, if you give, God will give it back. Well, here's what the scripture says. It says, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I like that sequence right there, okay? Let's look at it one more time. He says, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, you've got a blessing of guaranteed return that accompanies your obedience, your sacrifice, and your faithfulness to give to heavenly things in your life. Aren't you thankful about that, church? Come on. Spiritually speaking, when you establish this faith-filled life of giving towards heaven, it's an investment that is virtually no risk and all reward. Why? Because any gift given, church, for God's great purposes, they are backed by the infinite treasures, the infinite resources of God's bank of heaven. There is no doubt about it. There's no reason or cause for concern. There's no condition under which this promise of God will not be upheld towards you. Your blessing will come. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what somebody who doubts says into your life. If you give, God's word has to align with itself, and he will perform that which he says he will do. When you give, he's going to give it back to you. Come on, can you receive it right now? Aren't you thankful? This is a guarantee. It is a blessing of guaranteed return. I'm thankful to have that in my life going on right now. And y'all know it's true. I remember one time when I was a little boy. We were very poor. We were going through some destitute seasons. And I may have told this story before. If I have, maybe somebody hadn't heard it, so you'll get blessed again. Amen. I'll never forget this. My buddy Chuck and I, we were little boys. My mother was always working. I was watching her walk to two jobs. She would leave the little house, and she'd walk down Warrior River Road in Birmingham. She'd go, and she'd be a secretary at a place called a realty company in the day. She didn't have a car. She'd leave there, walk down Bessemer Superhighway, and she'd be a cashier at the Liberty Supermarket at night. And so me and my sisters would sit on the porch sometimes, and we'd watch her come bobbing up the road on her way on her walk home. We were very, very poor. And I would always say my prayers at night, and I always wondered, Lord, what can I do to help my mama? Well, me and my buddy Chuck, we rode our bikes all over the place. And so we went and we decided to go and pump gas at this Spur gas station. Have I told this one? All right. You're going to like it. We went and decided to ask the guy at the Spur gas station, can we please pump gas and will you pay us to do it? And he said, okay, guys, come. My buddy Chuck, I can't remember how old we were little kids. He said, just come back on Saturday, be here when I open, okay, at 7 o'clock, and you can pump gas all day long and I will pay you. We said, good. So we got a couple of 5-gallon buckets that morning. We sat there. And we waited for cars to pull up, and we pumped gas from open to close that day. And it was so hot, it was in the middle of summertime. And when he got ready to close, we took our 5-gallon buckets and stacked them up behind the store. And so we went up to the owner, and we said, okay, we pumped the gas all day long. We're ready to get paid. And he said, okay, boys, thank y'all so much for coming. And he gave me a dollar, and he gave Chuck a dollar. You believe that? A dollar for pumping gas all day long. Now, that's something, isn't it? All right. And so I got mad. I got mad. And so I went home and I told my mama about it. And I gave her the dollar. And I'll never forget what happened. Okay. She gave me back the dollar. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? I'm a little kid. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to that same store and buy some candy. All right. And so I did. We went down to that store. We spent the dollar on a drink and some candy. And I'm pushing my bike home because I'm frustrated. And I look down, and on halfway home, I saw a $50 bill. $50. Thank God. And I looked down, and I picked up that $50. And I said, thank God, I'm going to give this to my mama. I really can help my mama. Praise God. Amen. And so I took it, and I gave it to mama, and I'll never forget what she said. She thanked me. We had a prayer, and it was a great blessing. And then she said, how much are you going to give to Chuck? I was challenged, and I had to make a good decision. So with mama's help, y'all know what I'm talking about there? With mama's help, I decided to share it with Chuck, thank God. But I knew there was a great lesson there that day, because I realized, had I tried to keep it to myself, I wouldn't have learned anything and we wouldn't have been blessed. But you know what the enemy meant for my destruction, God meant for my good. Amen. And that's the exact same thing that happens in our lives when we try to withhold from God and try to control everything on our own. If we'll just give it back over to him, we've got a guarantee of a supernatural supply in our life and a great return blessing in our life. And that brings me to point number two, thank God. The blessing of supernatural supply. Can y'all see this on your screen? This is the great blessing of great giving life, the blessing of a supernatural supply. And what that really just means is this. It means God has resources that goes beyond man's economics. Aren't you glad? Come on. God has a resource, God has a system, God has a plan, and he's not worried about the U.S. economy or the world economy or what's going on with gas prices or anything else. God's plan and his provision exceeds that. Why? Because our eyes tend to look at what's natural, but we need to get our eyes off of the natural report and start believing the supernatural report, the thing that God can do. Amen, somebody. Here's the scripture. It means Philippians 4:9, and you've read this scripture your whole life. You learned this way back in VBS. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do y'all believe that today? Let's read that out loud together as we learn it. Come on, along with me. Ready? And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God. Let me remind us of something today, church. The core power of this Christian life is supernatural power. And when it comes to giving, many people inside the life of the church or the life of faith, they're challenged by giving. And they forget to understand that there are spiritual realities attached to your life of giving. And here's that spiritual reality right now. It can be described exactly like this. Please listen to me closely. If you withhold your giving, or you only give what and when it is convenient, all you will ever have is what you can come up with on your own. And that means that you will live a pressure-filled life, wondering where your real blessings are going to come from. I've lived that life before. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? When you withhold, you don't really have the faith. You use the excuse, well, I can't really afford to give. Well, listen, here's the truth. You can't afford not to give. If you're a believer and you understand this word and you claim to be an obedient child of the Father, you know you got to get a hold of the scripture and do what it says. You can't withhold it. Why? Because when you're faithful to give, come on, somebody, amen. How many realize there's a big difference between excuse making and being faithful to give? Come on. When you're faithful to give, even when it seems like a sacrifice, you're tapping into the supernatural. You're tapping into a provision in which God, the word says, stands eager and willing to unleash the riches of his glory to see that you and your family and your business and your church have all that you need to the glory of God. Thank God. I'm glad about it, aren't you, church? Number three, the blessing of graceful abundance. Thank God. The blessing of graceful abundance. Blessings of great giving. What does that mean? This is really where our part in the church, in the ministry, begins to come into action. It just means this. Abundant grace brings abundant blessings and spurs abundant ministry. How many will believe along with me that there's no reason why some other church has got to be the church that makes the huge ministry strides in the county? It ought to be this one right here. Come on, somebody. It ought to be this one right here. There's no reason why the dreams of you, your family, and this church aren't being fulfilled. We just need to understand the spiritual principle of abundant grace flowing to our life. Here's the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Hey, y'all getting anything out of this today, guys? I want you to be really edified and blessed by this teaching, but watch closely. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things." Come on, everybody say all. Everything. All grace, all sufficiency, all things may have an abundance. And here's why, for every good work. Amen. This is the scripture that goes along with that old axiom that you've always heard in your life, that God wants you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Here's what it says. It says that he wants you to have an abundance for every good work. Verse 10 goes on. "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply that seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And verse 11, "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Amen. There's that word again, all and rich, liberality. See, God's not afraid to liberally give and bless your life because he knows that it's going to cause the people around you to glorify him and give him the thanksgiving on the other side. Praise God, praise God. I want us to see something so cool right here in this scripture. You know, in the natural mindset, we tend to have an addition mentality. In other words, when someone or something is added to our life, the church family, your business is added, an employee is added, or money is added, we tend to rejoice and think, well, what a blessing. But when you closely look at the stewardship principles of God and his fruit that he bears forth, he doesn't have an addition mentality. God has a multiplication mentality. How many know the difference between addition and multiplication? Come on. See, we have an addition mentality. God has a multiplying mentality. Thank God. That's why he plans to be the seed, supply your seed so that you can sow it, so he can turn around and multiply it. Come on. Did y'all get a hold of it? That's good stuff right there, guys. He'll multiply and increase the fruit of your life and your righteousness, and you'll be enriched for all liberality. Hear me out. I'm almost done, guys. Watch closely. We're about to pray. God's promise is limitless. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. He will provide all that you need. He will enable you to abound in every good work. There's no reason why any of us should ever feel spiritually or physically inadequate or limited in any way, because of two words from this scripture that represent the sufficiency of the power of God and the sufficiency of the provision of God. And those two words are all and every. Come on, everybody say all. And every, all and every blessing, when we align with his plan, comes into your life for supernatural results in the name of Jesus. Notice what this scripture emphasizes, the supply of God, his tendency to multiply your seed, his tendency and desire to increase your life. And the fruit of that is it causes us to give him thanksgiving. Aren't you glad about that? Come on. If you're glad about it, ready to receive blessings in your life, give him a big praise right now. Come on, all over the house. God bless you. God bless you. We're about to pray. But I want to invite you right now to stand with me all over the room. Please, no one leave. I've instructed the usher team to serve us today at the doors as we leave in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to pray. And I want to share with you today some of the things that I'm praying for and we're going to be believing for right now. But before we do, guys, I want to do this very, very special today. If you're believing for God's blessing to take over your life, now listen, I want you guys to understand today that this is a spiritual plan of God. This is not a tactic of some preacher. I didn't make this stuff up. Y'all get that? I didn't come up with it. I just learned a long time ago how to put this into my life. And let me tell you, when I put it into my life, mine and Karen's lives changed. Because I used to be really bound up in poverty mindset, even to the point where I felt guilty just when I had to get something new, even clothing. But I had to repent of that. Because God told me one day that I need to be a blessing to her and not cast that problem on her life and our marriage. And when I did, I aligned my giving life up with the Word, my trust up with the Word. And I went from a struggling mindset of lack and struggle, and I began to give and tithe right and give right and give excessively. And I really did what God said to do. He said in Malachi 3, prove me on this. That word means to test. It's one thing God said, test me on this and see if I'll not bless you. And when I put this into our life really changed and God blessed us. He's been blessing us ever since. Thank God. Praise God. So I want to agree with you, but I want to ask for very, very special thing to have some courage today. If I can get a member of every family, just a representative from every family, to come and stand in the altar with us this morning, guys, and we're going to pray together and agree. And I'm going to ask the prayer leadership, staff, and elders who are here to come as well and pray. We're just going to touch and agree today for blessings over your life.